Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
They're making billions and billions of dollars when kids are being harmed. They're putting profits over our kids' lives.
Big Tech on Trial, a landmark trial about the harms of youth social media addiction, is taking place in Los Angeles. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg testified on Wednesday. Parents of children harmed by social media have gathered for the trial.
Let's give one big cheer for those forgot, or the kids that'll never be forgotten.
Yeah.
Los Angeles to speak with a mother whose 18-year-old daughter died by suicide. We'll also talk to an attorney at the Social Media Victims Law Center and Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen. Then 4,400. That's the number of times judges around the country have ruled the Trump administration is detaining immigrants unlawfully. We'll speak to a Reuters reporter who broke the story. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The U.S. military is preparing to strike Iran as soon as this weekend, but President Trump still has to make the final decision. That's according to CNN, which cited a White House source who said Trump is, quote, spending a lot of time thinking about this, unquote. On Tuesday, U.S. and Iranian negotiators held indirect talks in Geneva and left without a clear resolution. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is expected to travel to Israel and meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later this month to discuss Iran's nuclear program. Meanwhile, the U.S. is sending a second aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald Ford, to the Middle East to join the USS Abraham Lincoln in the Persian Gulf. The USS Gerald Ford carrier strike group has been stationed in the Caribbean when the U.S. attacked Venezuela and abducted its president, Nicolas Maduro, and his wife. Iran has long maintained its nuclear program is solely for civilian purposes. This is Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian.
We have stated this many times. My own statements are not important. What matters from an ideological standpoint is the policy and the fatwa of the supreme leader. We are in no way seeking nuclear weapons. Whatever form of verification they want to carry out, we are ready for that verification to take place.
In the United Kingdom, police have arrested Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, the former prince and King Charles' brother, on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Authorities say they're investigating a complaint over allegations that the former prince shared confidential material with the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The former prince was the UK's trade envoy between 2001 and 2011. Back in November, King Charles stripped his brother of his title as Prince and Duke of York and evicted him from his royal residence over his relationship with Epstein. It comes as Sarah Ferguson, the ex-wife of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, shut down six companies after the Epstein files revealed Ferguson's close ties to the late convicted sex offender. The documents reveal Ferguson brought her daughters, Princess Beatrice and Princess Eugenie, to visit Epstein in Miami in 2009, just 5 days after he completed a prison sentence on sex crime charges involving a minor. While Ferguson publicly disowned Epstein in 2011, calling their relationship a gigantic error of judgment and stating she abhors pedophilia, emails reveal she privately apologized to Epstein for her public condemnations, calling him a steadfast, generous, and supreme friend, unquote. Here in the U.S., Les Wexner, the billionaire former CEO of Victoria's Secret, testified about his relationship to Epstein in a closed-door deposition before the House Oversight Committee at his home in Ohio. This is Democratic Congressmember Robert Garcia.
There would be no Epstein Island. There'd be no Epstein plane. There'd be no money to traffic women and girls. Mr. Epstein would not be the wealthy man he was without the support of Les Wexner.
Meanwhile, a panel of independent experts appointed by the United Nations Human Rights Council is calling for an independent and impartial investigation into alleged sex crimes contained in the Epstein files. The UN panel says, quote, so grave is the scale, nature, systematic character, and transnational reach of these atrocities against women and girls that a number of them may reasonably meet the legal threshold of crimes against humanity, unquote. The Trump administration's planning to build a 5,000-person military base in Gaza, sprawling more than 350 acres. That's according to contracting records reviewed by The Guardian newspaper, which reports the site is meant to host a future international stabilization force, part of the so-called Board of Peace chaired by President Trump. Today, dozens of world leaders and high-ranking diplomats are gathering in Washington, D.C. as the Board of Peace holds its inaugural meeting. Ahead of the summit, European allies declined to join. Countries sending delegations are largely led by authoritarian governments. The list includes Argentina, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Belarus, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and the United Arab Emirates. The Pope has refused to join the Board of Peace. This comes as Palestinians left homeless by Israel's bombardment say they have yet to receive any assistance rebuilding their shattered neighborhoods.
As Palestinians living in displacement, we first hope for the reconstruction of Rafah City, and secondly, the infrastructure. We have destruction in hospitals, in health, in education, in infrastructure, in electricity, in water, in housing, in the environment, in diseases, in the spread of diseases, and in the spread of things like that. So we hope for reconstruction in a very quick way.
A new study finds Israel's assault on Gaza killed far more Palestinians than initially reported. Writing in the Lancet Medical Journal, researchers found there were over 75,000 violent deaths in the first 16 months of Israel's assault. That compares to the roughly 49,000 deaths reported by the Palestinian Health Ministry over that period. More than half of those killed in the Israeli strikes were women, seniors, or children. Palestinian photographer Mariam Daga has won a 2026 George Polk Award for photojournalism for her work documenting Israel's starvation campaign against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Daga was awarded the prize posthumously after she was killed last August when Israel's military bombed Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. She died in a second strike on the hospital alongside Palestinian journalists Moaz Abu Taha and Mohammed Salama, after they rushed to the scene of Israel's initial attack. In Moscow, Cuba's foreign minister met Wednesday with top Russian officials, including Russian President Vladimir Putin, who pledged his support to the island nation. Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, urged the U.S. to end its blockade and oil embargo, which has left Cuba facing blackouts and severe fuel shortages. This is Cuba's foreign minister, Bruno Rodriguez.
We share a great concern about the deterioration of the international order, which was already unjust and precarious, but which today is being replaced by the practices of the United States government through operations of plunder and occupation of natural resources, total transgression of international law and ignorance of the United Nations, which threatens not only the current order, multilateralism, the United Nations and others, but also the sovereignty and security of all states without exception.
The Department of Homeland Security is launching a nationwide campaign to investigate and prosecute naturalized citizens who registered to vote or voted illegally prior to becoming citizens. That's according to documents reviewed by MS Now. The initiative reportedly requires DHS investigators to submit reports to the White House detailing each case in which they declined to bring charges. Two current and former DHS officials told MS Now that the White House directive is, quote, not normal. White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller is reportedly the driving force behind the DHS investigation. The Trump administration is preparing to roll back limits on levels of toxic mercury pollution from coal-fired power plants. The New York Times reports top EPA officials will announce the rollback during a visit to Louisville, Kentucky on Friday. The World Health Organization considers mercury one of its top 10 chemicals of major public health concern, and even small amounts can cause serious health problems, especially in utero and in children. Meanwhile, a coalition of public health and environmental groups filed a lawsuit in federal court Wednesday seeking to block President Trump's rollback of the 2009 endangerment finding, which enabled the EPA to regulate greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. In a separate petition, 18 children and young adults also sued the EPA, arguing the burning of fossil fuels is denying them their constitutional rights to life and liberty. Lead petitioner Elena Venner wrote, quote, "My Catholic faith teaches me to care for all life and protect the most vulnerable, and it teaches that children are a gift. I now struggle to imagine bringing a child into a world where the air is unsafe and the climate is increasingly unstable," she said. In New York, NYU Langone Health has announced it will close its trans youth health program, forcing transgender teens who are currently receiving gender-affirming care at the hospital system to seek treatment elsewhere. This comes as the Trump administration's threatened to cut federal funding from hospitals that provide hormone treatments or puberty blockers to minors. New York State Senator Eric Boccher said, quote, "Healthcare decisions should be made by doctors, patients, and families, not by politicians weaponizing funding to push an extreme ideological agenda," unquote. According to Stat News, more than 40 hospitals nationwide have paused or ceased to offer some type of gender-affirming care to trans youth since President Trump returned to office. South Korea's former president Yoon Suk-yeol has been sentenced to life in prison with hard labor after a court in Seoul found him guilty of leading an insurrection during a failed attempt to declare martial law last December 2024. In a verdict broadcast on live TV, a judge found Yoon unlawfully tried to send troops into South Korea's National Assembly to arrest key figures, including the assembly speaker and party leaders. Yoon had faced a possible death sentence. And in California, 8 backcountry skiers have been found dead after an avalanche near Lake Tahoe. A 9th skier is still missing, but is also presumed to be dead. It's the deadliest avalanche in California history. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. We begin today's show looking at youth social media addiction and a landmark case that's put big tech on trial. On Wednesday, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg testified in a Los Angeles courtroom and was grilled by defense attorneys about Instagram's practices. The trial stems from a lawsuit brought against Meta and Google by a 20-year-old from California named Kaylee, who says she became hooked on YouTube at the age of 6 and then by the age of 9 turned to Instagram. On one day, she spent 16 hours on the platform. She says the social media apps fueled her depression and suicidal thoughts. Kaylee's attorney told jurors, quote, "These companies built machines designed to addict the brains of children, and they did it on purpose." He likened the platforms to, quote, "digital casinos that profited off addictive behavior."
Last week, the head of Instagram described Kaylee's use of the platform as problematic, but he said the app was not clinically addictive. TikTok and Snap were previously named in the case, but the companies reached a settlement before the trial. Parents of children harmed by social media have gathered in Los Angeles for the trial. This is Juliana Arnold of the group Parents Rise. Her 17-year-old daughter died of fentanyl poisoning after receiving laced drugs from someone she met on Instagram.
Ironically, this court case is happening during her birthday next week. She would be 21 years old, and I'm going to be in this courtroom representing her and all the other kids that have been harmed and died due to social media platforms and their dangerous, dangerous products and algorithms that they have created purposefully to addict these kids and keep them, you know, get them hooked. They're children, children hooked so they can raise their engagement levels, which in turn, as you know, is their is for advertising, and that's their business model. And they're making billions and billions of dollars when kids are being harmed. They're putting profits over our kids' lives. And that's why this trial is so important, because it's the first time the public and legislators are going to get the truth.
And this is Todd Miner. His son, Matthew, died at the age of 12 while participating in a social media challenge known as the Choking or Blackout Challenge.
Matthew specifically passed from the Choking Challenge, or the Blackout Challenge. And it was, when I found him, I had to try to do CPR and everything, because I'm retired military. So I tried doing CPR, but ultimately when we got to the hospital, he ended up passing away. But the detective was the one that told us about the Blackout Challenge on the social media apps, the dangerous algorithms, and he saw a dangerous rise in children passing because of these dangerous algorithms. We're a family brought together by tragedy and pain, and we are here to speak our truth, to say our children's lives matter, the other families that are in the courthouse, their families matter, and the kids that have yet to be harmed but have a potential to be harmed, their lives matter.
We're joined now by guests who have been tending the trial. Laurie Schott's 18-year-old daughter, Annalee, died by suicide in 2020 from the body image issues Laurie believes were exacerbated by social media. Lennon Torres is senior manager of programs and campaigns at the HEAT Initiative, which focuses on applying strategic pressure to big tech companies around the negligence of child sexual abuse online. She's also an LGBTQ plus advocate. And here in New York, we're joined by Laura Marquez Garrett, an attorney at the Social Media Victims Law Center based in Seattle. Laura has filed more than 1,200 complaints against tech companies in state and federal courts across the country. They were just named to the Time 100 list of most influential people in health and are featured in the documentary Can't Look Away. Laura Marquez Garrett, let's begin with you. You were just with our other guests in California at the trial, but you've flown into New York overnight. Thank you for joining us after the red eye, because you're being honored tonight by Time magazine. Can you start off by talking about the significance of this, what you've called a landmark trial?
Yes. So, I mean, this trial is something that these parents have worked for years, trying to get accountability. You know, the significance here, it's not about a verdict. It's not about who's right. It's not about a win. It's about our system working the way it's supposed to. It's about transparency. It's about truth. And that's what we're seeing right now, right? We're seeing these documents come out. We're seeing testimony. Mark Zuckerberg testified yesterday. We're seeing these parents standing outside the courthouse telling their stories so that other parents know what's happening. And that's really the significance here. It's the American legal system doing what it's supposed to do, and frankly, what it should have done 10 years ago. There would be far fewer dead children if it had.
Well, Laurie Schott, you're one of the parents who's attending this trial to seek accountability for what happened with your daughter. If you could explain what exactly happened with Annalee when she went online and with the time that she spent on social media.
Yes, my beautiful daughter, Annalee, was 18 years old when she took her life. But from about her senior year in high school, or her sophomore year in high school and on, we could just see a change in her personality. You know, we always built our children up with confidence and clarity, and you could just see that what we thought was just a teenage girl growing up, the significant impact looking back now of how social media defined who she was. not who she actually was in her heart, but what they told her she was.
And what are you hoping to see comes out of this trial, Lori?
You know, I think justice comes in many forms. Nothing is going to bring my child back or any of these other children. But I want the world to know and parents around the world to know what the internal operations were targeting with these big tech corporations. It's really not big tech. It's predatory tech. You know, the predators always blame victims, and we were the victims of this. And I want the messages to be heard loud and clear and around the world that we've had enough. Hands off our kids. We are going to show the internal documents, I don't care if it's here or in Washington, D.C. or around the world, that shows the harms that they knew internally that they were doing. For me as a parent to sit in that courtroom and hear 18 out of 18 researchers, internal researchers for Meta, knew that body dysmorphia filters were harming children, and they did nothing is unacceptable, and we need justice for that. We need change.
Lori, what is your response to what Zuckerberg said yesterday in court, and how did that compare to when he testified before Congress?
It was two different things. You know, you sit there and you look at them trying to readjust their wording just because they walked through those courthouse doors. You can't take away what was on file and what we have documented that he said when we were in Congress that day. And to try and twist that around is just unacceptable. But I am thankful that he was put on that stand in front of that jury, the judge, and just basically having to be accountable for what he did. He knew. And I think he never thought that he would have to cross those courthouse steps. But yesterday was basically a justice day for our children.
And Lennon, Lori just mentioned the concept of predatory tech. You yourself were subject to this when you started using social media at the age of 13. If you could describe your experience, and in particular, the attempted sexual extortion that you faced.
When I think about my time on social media, I think about all of the individual decisions that led to my lived experience on the platform. It mirrored a lot of what I saw in Anna Lee. And that is something I don't take lightly. I'm here by happenstance. I'm here on behalf of children who cannot be here. And my experience as a young trans person, as a young trans kid, was that my immediate environment was not providing me with the support I needed. And so I looked to digital communities, and big tech or predatory tech really took the meaning of digital community away from LGBTQ plus people. Because when we turn to online experiences, we are three times more likely to experience unwanted or risky interactions online. That is the research. LGBTQ people are at a higher risk of these harms. And so when I went to Instagram, when I was on these platforms, especially as a public-facing child who was on reality TV shows such as Dance Moms, I had hundreds of thousands of followers with access to me and some of my most intimate moments. And what's hard to admit but is important is for so long I thought my experience was something I should be ashamed of. I never told anyone that I was receiving hundreds of messages from grown adult men trying to groom me online because they understood I was vulnerable. I never talked about the fact that I was able to bypass age gating, age assurance online because I would join these, you know, Omegle type platforms. I would be off platformed from Instagram because there at the time was no FaceTime or video chat in messages, because they knew that I was vulnerable and was looking for connection, and they were pros at exploiting that. That is by design. The social media platforms could easily stop strangers from being able to contact kids. They'll say they do it, but they don't. And until we have third-party independent verification of their safety features, we're at a standstill.
So if you could talk about what you got your first iPhone in seventh grade, if you could talk about what attracted you to Instagram, and when you talk about age gating, explain exactly what you mean when companies say, oh, you know, people under this age can't be on Instagram or whatever, but how you got around it.
Well, when I joined Instagram, they didn't ask me my age. And they fill their terms and conditions with a bunch of rules, but they're not enforcing them. And they're also expecting young children to be reading their terms and conditions. I can't remember the last adult I talked to that even read cover to cover the terms and conditions. And that is why the system is broken. We're expecting too much from the consumer. And these big businesses have a duty to protect their consumers and create products that do not cause harm at an exponential scale. For me, what brought me to these platforms was community and connection. I wanted to express myself. I wanted to be able to connect with friends from all over the world. And we as a generation were brainwashed into thinking that in order to have all of that good, all of that connection, all of that community, support, resources, we had to take all of the bad that comes with it. And when I look at big tech's leadership, I just see lazy. I see a lack of innovation. I see a lack of accountability. And I see a lack of motivation to create digital community that young people like Anna, like myself, deserved. And if they're not going to build the platforms that I know young people can thrive on and get community and get support, then they must move out of the way. Because we have young innovators out there and other companies that are doing the work because they know that we can have all of the good without the bad.
And Lori, could you talk about the fact, the particular complicity of TikTok in what happened to your daughter and the fact that both TikTok and Snapchat reached a settlement shortly before the trial was set to begin? And the terms of the settlement are unknown. I mean, TikTok is a platform that doesn't have as many regular users as Facebook, which is 3 billion in the case of Facebook, 2 billion and growing in the case of TikTok. What is your response to the fact that a settlement was reached?
Well, I think it's very telling. I think it's telling that TikTok and Snap did not want to be put on that world stage alongside with Meta. But I think it also has to focus on that was an individual plaintiff case. And looking at that from the legal context, there had to be some discussion on to come to a settlement term. But with my daughter, I did not even know she was on TikTok. She hid the app underneath a calculator icon. And sadly, we found out after she died from a friend that she actually saw a live suicide on TikTok, which added to her spiral of mental health struggles.
We're going to break. I also want to comment that Lori Schott is wearing a big pin with a picture of her beautiful daughter, Anna. Lori Schott is with us, as well as Lennon Torres. They're in Los Angeles. They're attending the trial. Mark Zuckerberg just spoke yesterday in the trial. He testified. Laura Marquez Garrett was also there at the trial, but she's come here to New York to be celebrated as one of the Time 100 at a big event tonight. Coming up, we'll also be joined by Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen. Stay with us. Miguel Somoza and Catherine Esther Morrow. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
We're continuing to look at the landmark trial about the harms of youth social media addiction is taking place in Los Angeles. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg testified on Wednesday. Meta is the parent company of Facebook and Instagram.
We're also joined by Facebook whistleblower Frances Haugen. In 2021, she turned over tens of thousands of pages of internal Facebook documents to U.S. regulators in the Wall Street Journal, which became the basis of a damning